know the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds, for riches do not last forever. Proverbs 27, 23, and 24. I am Rob West. These days, our flocks and herds often look like stocks and mutual funds, not sheep and cattle. But the call to wise stewardship remains. One way we do that is through proxy voting. Jerry Boyer joins us to explain how and why it matters. And we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, Jerry Boyer's a good friend. He's our resident economist. He's also president of Boyer Research, a corporate engagement and proxy consulting firm that executes votes at over 4,000 annual meetings each year. Jerry, great to have you back with us.
Great to be with you.
Jerry, proxy voting plays a key role in corporate governance. It, of course, gives shareholders a voice, even if they can't attend meetings. But I guess many Christian investors perhaps don't realize that they have this opportunity to speak into the companies they own. So why don't we start with the basics? Maybe you can just bring some definition around what is proxy voting.
Proxy voting is a lot like citizenship voting. When you're an American citizen, you get to vote in elections, you get to attend town hall meetings and ask questions. And in some states, you can actually put a referendum question on the ballot before all the other voters. Well, all of those rights that you have as citizens, you have very similar rights when you're a shareholder in a company, if you own the shares directly. Now, if you're invested through a mutual fund or ETF, you basically give that voice to them. So you want to make sure that they're using it properly. And what we've seen, what I've seen at least, is that most Christians do not know about this. So people who do not share their worldview and are actively hostile to it are really good at gaming the system. They show up, they're super organized, they're pushing pro-abortion things on ballots, they're pushing anti-religious liberty stuff on ballots, they're pushing censorship. And when our side pushes back and tries to promote religious liberty, or hey, what's the risk of selling abortifacients? How, you know, isn't it bad for your business to kill future customers? Or what's the risk of getting so entangled with China? Basically, we don't do very well in those votes because Christians don't know that they have that vote power, or they've delegated to someone who has exactly the opposite worldview. And what we're finding over and over again, and this is true of Christian ministries, nonprofits, even, you know, ones that directly have a religious freedom mission, their money is being used to vote exactly the opposite of what they believe in. Their money is being weaponized against them and their mission.
And part of this, Jerry, is just calling to account these companies, keeping the main thing the main thing, staying focused on what they were actually founded to do in terms of their products and services, right?
Absolutely. The kind of corporate engagement that we're involved in is political neutrality corporate engagement. So nobody is coming, at least nobody that we're working with, is coming in there and saying, you know, you really need to start discriminating against gay people. That, you know, that's not the agenda. But we are coming in and saying, you need to stop discriminating against Christians. If you have a Pride employee resource group and you don't have any faith-based employee resource groups, or you have faith-based employee resource groups but not a Christian one, for example, I remember talking to a major bank. They said, oh, it's fine, don't worry. We have faith-based groups. I said, really? Yeah, we have a Muslim one and we have a Jewish one. And I said, sounds like you might be missing one. You know, 75% of Americans, I mean, yes, half a percent of Americans are Muslim. I'm glad they have an employee resource group. What about the 75% who are Christians? They just have a blind spot on this. So, you know, we need to be forceful in getting them to not discriminate against anybody. They need to go back to their main business, banking, not social change. We have political parties, we have advocacy groups, we have think tanks. We don't need to turn our corporations into those things.
Jerry, just 45 seconds before our first break. So let's say someone owns shares in XYZ company and they get a form in the mail, or maybe it's online now. What does this look like?
Yeah, it's a little hard to understand. They can be 90 or 100 pages long if you're getting the actual proxy statement. They're written in sneaky and misleading ways, which is why at Boyer Research, we read them so we know what's really going on. I would say it is an extremely difficult thing for an ordinary investor to know what to do with this, which is why I think financial advisors need to stop saying, hey, this is too complicated for me. A client, would you please check the box so that the proxy statement goes to you? because I don't think financial professionals should be taking the hard work and sloughing it off onto the clients.
Yeah.
If it's too complicated for the advisor, well, then it's too complicated for the client. That's where we step in. We can help advisors take back that voice for their clients and vote in a way that aligns with their worldview.
A lot more to come on this topic just around the corner. Stay with us.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
At times, all believers will suffer through a hard season, job loss, medical bills, unexpected hardships. But as the body of Christ, we're called to care for one another, especially for the one who's struggling. That's part of living out our faith in community. Leviticus 25:35 says, "If any of your fellow Israelites become poor and are unable to support themselves among you, help them as you would a foreigner and stranger, so they can continue to live among you." And when we step in to help, we're extending the love of Jesus and sharing generosity in His name. After all, He's the one who poured out all He had, even His blood on the cross, to rescue us. Grow in your walk with Jesus through time in God's Word. Anchor Devotional can help. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Some questions for you. How many Bibles do you own? How many Bible-driven churches are near you? Was it hard to find this Christian radio broadcast? Whatever your access to Scripture, are you making the most of having God's Word within reach? Consider those questions with John MacArthur as he continues his compelling study, Making a Case for the Bible, on Grace to You.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. With me today, our resident economist, president of Boyer Research, Jerry Boyer. We're talking proxy voting and corporate engagement. And Jerry, would you say it's fair to say this has been an enormous missed opportunity, not only for Christian investors, but for advisors serving Christians and major Christian ministries?
Absolutely. A missed opportunity, creating a vacuum into which other forces stepped, which do not have the same orientation towards the world that we do and the same moral compass. So we left a vacuum. So instead of influencing things in the right direction, we didn't even leave things at neutral. We basically gave our voice to asset managers or advisors or whatever who either are completely in the opposite direction or simply weren't paying attention, which meant the system, the bureaucratic system of proxy voting sort of, you know, kicked in and pushed things in the opposite direction. I know so many Christians who are upset at so many American companies, and we know the names of them, right? And we gripe about them. And I'm thinking, where are you at the annual meeting? How did you vote when there was a proposal on the ballot? I mean, you're talking about the companies, but you're not talking to them. And I think Christians understand in any other area of life that you don't change people that you talk about. You change people that you talk to. So there's so much opportunity here to go from basically giving our voice to people who are essentially our enemies in terms of worldview, to taking it back, and then to, you know, now going out there and pushing these companies back to where they should be, focused on their core business, not on taking one side in a culture war.
Yeah. Jerry, that's changing, though. And I don't know that you'd say this, but I certainly will. Boy, your research has been a big part of why that change is happening. You're really leading the way alongside some major Christian ministries and some really influential advisors that have significant assets under management. So well done. But are you seeing the tide turn in this?
Yes, I am seeing the tide turn, which is really amazing, because when we help put proposals forward, we generally get very low vote counts because our money is being used against us. And we're still, I mean, I think the truth is pretty powerful. So when we come to a corporation, about a third of the time, they're persuaded, even though they know that we're going to, like, 98% of the votes are going to be cast against us. And a lot of those will be votes cast by people who are on our side who don't even know that they're voting against us. Remember having a conversation recently with a couple who had just come from Sam Brownback's conference. He's the former ambassador for religious liberty, who had been debanked by a major bank. And they said, debanking is a terrible thing. And I said, okay, tell me who's managing your money right now. They gave me the name of the asset manager. And I took them and I said, right here, here's the day that you voted against Sam Brownback. And they were shocked by that. They had no idea that that was happening. And I, over and over again, anti-Israel votes, anti-sanctity of life votes, pro-life ministries voting with Planned Parenthood, for example, to suppress Crisis Pregnancy Center. I mean, I'm laughing because it's like so ridiculous, but this sort of thing is happening all the time. And it's because we're not paying attention. And I understand it's complicated. And if you're running a ministry and you're the CFO, you're not thinking about this stuff. You're thinking about returns, or you're an advisor, you're thinking about maybe applying some screens or giving people good counsel. But the time is over for ignorance. We see what's happened. We now know what's happening. We now have solutions. I don't think that Christian financial professionals and people who are managing money, whether they're asset managers or big foundations or ministries, every church that has a pension plan is voting somehow or another. How are they voting? I've yet to find one that knows how they're voting when I talk to them. We can come in and say, all right, we'll do an audit and we'll tell you how you're voting. And every single time we do that, they're shocked and they want to do something about it. And it's not that hard to take back their voice.
If you're listening today and you're an advisor who's not stepped into this opportunity and you serve Christians, maybe you're connected to a major Christian ministry, reach out to BoyerResearch.com. Jerry and his team would be happy to get you up to speed on this. Jerry, many listening today own mutual funds or exchange-traded funds rather than individual stocks. How does this affect their role in proxy voting?
Well, a couple things. One, we can tell them how they're voting. I mean, we have the data on all the mutual funds and ETFs, how they're voting. So that's something worth paying attention to. Two, there are products available. There's something called direct indexing, which a lot of companies offer. And there are Christian-aligned offerers of that, several of them, who offer that solution, where they can come in and take back their vote. If you own the share directly, now you get your vote back. Now, you also need help voting once you get your vote back. So there are definitely solutions. But I'm not going to mention any names. But I think if you think about the big asset managers, they're not on your side, for sure. And I know sometimes someone will look and say, well, I've got a faith-aligned advisor or whatever, therefore it's okay. And I'm saying, no, not necessarily. Really, very, at this point, very few faith-aligned advisors are on top of this. They're trying to get on top of it. But, you know, I use Covenant, Trinity, whatever, you know, advisors. Therefore, this is great. And when we run the report, it usually isn't. So this has to be paid attention to. If someone has a fish on the card, doesn't mean that they're voting that way. Chances are they're just depending on the system. It's too complicated. And they're just kind of voting the way the proxy industry, the proxy advisory services say to do, which is not aligned with where we are.
Jerry, a lot of the flagship faith-based investing asset managers that are in our ecosystem have either moved toward this or they're actively moving toward really a concerted effort in proxy voting and shareholder resolutions, right?
They are. And I'm going to credit you for that and Kingdom Advisors. There's been a lot of attention brought to this. So I, you know, pretty much, maybe not every last one, but pretty much everyone in our ecosystem is thinking about this now, talking about it, talking to us in many cases, saying, well, how do we do this? So I've been delighted to see the shift towards paying attention to engagement. I can complain and say, well, the other folks did it 40 years ago, but you know what? What matters is now. So I think the Christian asset managers, the BRI asset managers, principal-based, they're really trying to do this. I think it hasn't really entirely caught up with some of the Christian advisors who think if they put on some screens, the job is done. Which is you certainly should screen if that's what your client's conscience calls for, but you can't screen out everything, right? So there's always going to be sin in the portfolio. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to confront it? So I think this needs to become the norm among advisors. Now, it is starting to. The conversation is ongoing, but having talked to many of them, it's early days. So maybe clients need to lead on this one. Maybe clients need to keep asking advisors, how am I voting? And I think advisors who are really aligned will say, I don't know, but I'm willing to find out and I'm willing to try to get you voting the way you want to.
Well, there's no doubt in terms of influence over our culture, Hollywood has a role in that. Washington has a role in that. But the boardrooms of the biggest companies in America have a major role in that. Jerry, just 30 seconds left. What do you want to leave our listeners with today?
I want to leave them with outrage at a distance raises your blood pressure, but it doesn't do much good otherwise. But actually talking to major American companies, some of them will say, I don't care, I'm not changing anything, but you delivered the message. And increasingly, more than I expected, and I was the most optimistic person in this movement, they say, okay, tell us what we need to do. And that is so much more satisfying than griping, being upset, and being fearful. A little bit of truth goes a long way.
If you're a major ministry that owns shares of stock, you're an advisor, or you have an advisor, check out BoyerResearch.com and get up to speed. Jerry, thanks for stopping by.
My pleasure.
As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
I'll do some stand-up comedy, Abe will do some preaching, Tim will MC the whole thing, and I'm really excited about it. The Weekend with AFA is a chance for our supporters to get better acquainted with the people and ministry you're supporting.
It's a Weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider. And select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
In Denver, Colorado, Jamie Sanchez obeyed the Lord's call and opened the Drip Cafe to create jobs to help unhoused people get back on their feet. Of course, the LGBTQ community began persecuting him for his Christian beliefs. His inspiring story of standing boldly for God's truth in the face of great opposition is part of our Impact series, and we'll send you the DVD as our thanks for your gift to AFA. Visit afa.net/spiritualwar. afa.net/spiritualwar.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
If you believe in the work of the American Family Association and you want to ensure that it continues for generations, consider including a gift in your will or trust. It's one of the most popular and effective ways to give. You'd simply connect with one of your advisors who would help you include language in your will or trust to include a specific gift to the American Family Association. If you'd like to learn more or connect with an advisor who can help you with that, just go to afafoundation.net.
Are you a financial professional looking to grow your practice while offering advice that aligns with your Christian values? By becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor, you'll gain the biblical wisdom and professional credibility to serve clients who are seeking faith-based financial guidance. Each year, more than 75,000 people search for a certified Kingdom Advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Start your journey today by going to kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Our team is not here today, so let me just remind you not to call in, but I will also remind you that we have some great questions that we lined up in advance, so you're not going to want to miss today's broadcast. Before we head to the phones, though, a quick email. These come to us at askrob@faithfi.com. This one comes to us from Tom. He writes, I'm 67 years old. God has blessed my business. I have investments and no debt. I'm concerned about the possibility that the government will take over banks and investment institutions. Would it be wise to buy gold as a part of my portfolio? Well, it's never a bad idea to have gold in your portfolio. It's a hedge against inflation. It's a store of value. It's a way to diversify with another asset class beyond stocks, bonds, and real estate. But I would say only to a maximum of 10% of your portfolio. Here's the way I like to think about that. Perhaps that first 5% is what we call your buy and hold or your buy for life portion. And I might consider buying that with physical gold, that first 5% where you'd buy either gold bars or with gold coins, where you're buying not much more than the spot price of the gold and you're holding that forever. Perhaps you pass that down to your heirs. If you want to go up to 10%, I'd say perhaps consider with that next 5% using an ETF like GLD or one of the tracking ETFs that tracks the price of gold. I wouldn't be concerned about the government taking over banks and brokerages. That's not going to happen, in my opinion. We appreciate you writing to us. All right, we're going to dive into our calls today. Let's begin in Bakersfield, California today. Hi, Martha. Go right ahead.
Thank you, my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I received an inherited IRA from my 97-year-old aunt. I'm 63 and still working. Are there required minimum distributions for this IRA? And if so, when and what would they be?
Yeah, it's a good question. So essentially, she would have already been taking required minimums, and this is a non-spouse. So, you know, that really is key, because if it's a non-spouse and she was taking her RMDs each year, then you have to continue those. And then beyond that, you would have to have the account emptied within 10 years. So what you would normally see happen is you would just take those annual required minimums based on your life expectancy in years 1 through 9, and then empty the account by year 10 would be the normal procedure there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So every year you must take some piece, or can you save it all to the end?
Now, because she was of the age where she already had the required minimum distributions, which, you know, right now is age, you know, typically age 73 or older, then you would have to continue those. You would not have the option of waiting, but then you would have to have the entire thing depleted by the end of the 10th year.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. You're very welcome. Thanks for your call, Martha. To Chicago, Felix, how can I help?
Hi, thank you for your ministry.
Thank you.
Well, within the next few months, I'm going to be receiving an inheritance. My mother had passed away last year, and she left us a property, my brother and I. And he's going to buy my share out. Approximately, we just got an appraisal today. So it looks like when I spoke to my cousin, he's a real estate agent. I should be receiving about $200,000. And my question is, I still have a mortgage left of approximately $120,000. And I was at first thinking about just paying my home off. But some people that I spoke to that I trust told me, well, I should use that as for an investment because I'm 54 years old and I have no retirement, no type of investments whatsoever. So I just wanted to call in and ask for your wisdom, you know, maybe direct me in one way. And I prayed about it, but inside I feel like I'd have peace knowing that my home is paid off. But I've heard from other people and they said that since I don't have any type of retirement, that maybe I should use the whole amount and continue paying my mortgage.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think it really does come down to priorities. But even before that, it's your values as a Christ follower and allowing those values, what's important to you, where God is taking you, and how money can be a tool to accomplish that. That really should be the starting point. And then one piece of that is just the financial mechanics of it in terms of you've got a low interest rate mortgage, you're not taking advantage of these years of your working life to get money working for you on a compounded basis. How do you balance all that? So let's just walk back through the numbers here quickly. What is your age?
I am 54. I'll be 55 this October.
Okay. And you're working. You don't have anything in retirement. Do you have a plan available to you, a retirement plan?
No, not as of yet.
Okay. And you're not putting anything in an IRA. So at this point, you have nothing in the way of retirement assets. What about margin? Is there anything left at the end of the month that you could put into a retirement plan or an IRA?
Yes.
Okay. How much do you have roughly on a monthly basis left over?
About $500.
Okay. About $500. And have you taken a hard look at your budget? I mean, have you gone through and looked at how you might be able to cut back and, you know, free up more on a monthly basis that you could use for that purpose?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And you really feel like 500 is about the extent of it?
At a minimum, it could be more, but at a minimum, I'm pretty safe with 500. That's realistic.
Got it. Yeah. And then other than the low interest mortgage, what do you have in the way of other debt?
I have currently altogether about $20,000 in debt.
Okay. Is that credit card debt?
Credit card and home improvements.
Okay. Is that a home equity line of credit or something else?
No, something else.
Okay. Got it. But you're not adding to that. That's just debt that you've accumulated in the past. And you're just making the monthly payments on it?
Correct.
Okay. And then the property that you're getting is an inheritance, and you think it's worth about $220,000?
Yeah, it's worth approximately $420,000. So okay. I'm looking at getting $200,000 when my brother buys me out.
Got it. All right. We'll be right back after this break. Stay right there.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has shared good news with investors and advisors by offering faith-honoring mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners Limited and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC. Investing involves risks, including possible loss of principal.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shree with From His Heart Ministries.
How many people come to church and they're chained to a bitter spirit and all sorts of problems, chained to greed and selfishness? Even when they want to break free, they can't seem to break free. Worship Him and praise Him and let Him remove the chains.
Learn to break the chains forever through Christ. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central, here on American Family Radio.
Feeling burdened by credit card debt? As faithful stewards, we are called to manage our finances wisely. Christian credit counselors can help with a debt management program that allows you to pay off debt up to 80% faster, while honoring your commitments with integrity. Don't let debt hold you back from the life God has planned for you. Take the first step toward peace and financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org.
We work, we earn, we save. But is that all there is? The book of Ecclesiastes gives us an entirely new perspective on money that impacts our day-to-day lives. FaithFi's study, Wisdom Over Wealth, unpacks life-changing biblical truths about wealth, work, and contentment. This resource will help you grow in how you handle wealth by deepening your trust in God. Request your copy of the Wisdom Over Wealth study with your gift of $35 or more by going to faithfi.com/give.
When you hear this...
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Before the break, we were talking to Felix in Chicago. Felix is 54. He doesn't have any retirement savings currently. He has about $500 extra per month left over after all of his bills are paid. He had accumulated prior to this point about $20,000 in debt from some home improvements, largely credit card debt. He's also got a mortgage of about $120,000 at a low interest rate of 3.5%. He's going to be receiving his share of a property that he inherited with his brother. His brother's going to buy him out. He believes that'll be somewhere between $200,000 and $220,000. And he's wondering, first, should he pay off the debt, the credit card debt? Second, should he then, with what's left over, invest it or pay off his mortgage at 3.5% and just invest the difference? And Felix, I think so long as you've solved the problem that got you into that credit card debt in the first place, any portion of that that was lifestyle spending, because we don't want you to pay it off and then just run the credit card debt back up, because that happens a lot. So you just need to be careful there. But yeah, absolutely no reason why you wouldn't pay off that non-mortgage debt immediately. I mean, at an interest rate of 19%+, that's a guaranteed return of 19%. You're not going to get that anywhere else. So that's a no-brainer. Then we have the option of, okay, so let's say you get 220, you put 20 and wipe all that out, you've got 200 left. Do you put 120 against the mortgage at 3.5% and free up, you know, the equivalent of that mortgage payment every month to start putting back into savings? Or do you invest the whole thing and just continue to pay out the mortgage, over time? And I think you could go either way there. Talk to me about, just as you think about, and I said, you know, it starts with your values. As you think about being debt free, you know, are you, you know, is that a really strong conviction for you, or are you comfortable hanging on to that low interest rate mortgage and investing the whole thing, if that makes more sense financially?
No, it has been a conviction. I actually was praying on it about a month ago when I knew we were getting closer to this. And there's just a piece that comes to, especially when I spoke to my wife, of knowing that my house will be paid, and and all the debts that I have will be paid, and then whatever's left, I can use that for savings or investment. But there is a piece that comes just knowing that. And I heard before you saying that no one's ever called you and said, I wish I never would have paid off my house.
That's right.
Yeah, I've never gotten that call. And that's why I'm asking the question. And so I think the fact that you have been praying about it, you have that conviction, you've been talking to your wife about it, I think there's something to that. I mean, the downside, if it is one, and again, I think if you really feel like the Lord's leading you to pay it off, I'd say do it and don't look back. And that's a good thing, because owning your home outright offers, you know, that peace of mind and that security. And it frees up funds for, you know, giving and saving, because you're going to have more cash flow because now you've eliminated that mortgage payment, at least the principal and interest portion. You know, the only downside is what's called the opportunity cost, which is just the, you know, the difference of what you could be making by putting that money to work. And, you know, so if the investments earn more than 3.5% after taxes, then you could yield higher returns. But with that comes, you know, the risk, the market risk, and the debt burden of continuing to carry that, not to mention the psychological cost. So I would say you and your wife continue to pray on that. If you, at the end of the day, together feel like, you know what, even though we might be able to make a little bit more money, and that wouldn't be a tall order. I mean, the market has averaged 6-7% a year historically, and depending on which time periods, you can make the case that the market averages something like 9% plus. So that's quite a bit more, even after taxes, than 3.5%. But if you guys would have peace of mind knowing, hey, we own our home and nothing can change that, then I'd say go ahead and pay it off. Let's take the equivalent of 3 to 6 months expenses and put it in high yield savings. Maybe you start with 3 months, and then because now you're going to have more available on a monthly basis because you're not making the principal and interest payment, maybe you use that to build up from 3 to 6 months, and then take the balance. You know, maybe that's, you know, 75,000, 70,000, something like that, and start investing it. And at a minimum, I'd open 2 Roth IRAs and fully fund those every year. And, you know, and then once you get a retirement plan available at work, start putting 10 to 15% there.
Okay, that sounds great.
Is that helpful?
Yes, very. Thank you very much for everything. And you said I can open up 2 Roth?
Yeah, 2 Roth IRAs. So you'd have you and your wife. Each have a Roth IRA, and because you're over 50, you can put in $8,000 apiece this year, so a total of $16,000. And then once the year turns to 2026, you could put in another $16,000 and keep going from there. And if you want an advisor to do some financial planning with you or even help you manage this, you could go to our website, faithfi.com, and click Find a Professional there at the top of the page. All the best to you, Felix. You sound like a wonderful guy, really seeking God's heart in financial stewardship, and it's been a joy to talk to you. Let's head to Nebraska. Sherry, how can I help?
Thank you for taking my call. I have a 10-year-old grandson. He's very thrifty with his money, and he wants to start a business. I've told him he's kind of too young. His parents have told him he's too young. He was thinking about growing watermelons. They live out in the country, and selling them on the side of the road, something like that. But is there a book or something I could get for him that tells him how to invest and save and give at his young age? Is there something age appropriate?
I could do one better than that. I'll send you the book that I recommend as my gift to you, Sherry. It's Art Rayner's book. It's called The Money Challenge for Teens: Prepare for College, Run from Debt, and Live Generously. And it might be a tad above his reading level, but if he's already thinking about starting businesses, I suspect it'll be just fine. And, you know, maybe go ahead.
No, I was going to say he's a prolific reader. He reads everything.
Okay. Good. All right. It'll be perfect. Yeah. And so Ian introduces Art's concept of what he calls the 8 financial milestones. You start to give first, then you open a checking or savings account. Mom and dad can help him with that. You know, I would recommend the Capital One teen money account. It's a debit card with a lot of parental controls that, you know, when they feel like he's ready, could be a great learning tool while he's still under their home. The third milestone is to save $500. The fourth is to open a Roth IRA. Now, he has to have earned income, but as soon as he starts that watermelon business or whatever else he does, even if he's mowing lawns or, you know, doing something like that, he could start putting money in a Roth. And then, you know, you move right on from there, like saving for a car or college. But I think it'll, you know, certainly introduce him to a biblical approach of money management and give him kind of a roadmap for where he goes from here. So if you stay on the line, Sherry, we'll get your information and get that book right out to you.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, you're welcome. Thanks for your call today. To West Palm Beach. Hi, Sophia. How can I help?
Hi, Rob. I was calling because I have a 34-year-old son who doesn't matter if he gets $10,000 a month or $5,000, whatever it is, he spends every penny. Yeah. And I'm worried about when we leave him some inheritance that he's going to waste it.
Yes.
And not use it the way God would want him to.
Yeah, I totally understand that, and I'd love to chat with you about that a bit more after our next break here, because, you know, this is really an issue that I think so many people wrestle with and struggle with, and, you know, I think there are legal mechanisms you can put in place to deal with this, but even beyond that, I think, you know, transferring wisdom before wealth and helping him to navigate these decisions is really key. I've got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Every husband and every wife will carry past wounds into their marriage, but you can learn to overcome those wounds. Next time on Focus on the Family, we'll describe how you can comfort your spouse and bring profound healing into their life and into your marriage. That's next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Let's think about what God has done. I would wager that his top news story is still that the free salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ is available to all. I wager that will be the top news story until that salvation is no longer available. You will have made your decision for eternity. He doesn't ask us to do anything he won't, and then he does above what we can possibly do.
Hear Todd Herman on A Disciple's View, weekdays 12 p.m. Central on AFR.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
I'm grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Sit back and enjoy. We're going to cover a lot of ground here in our final segment. We'll get to as many calls as we can. Before the break, we were talking to Sophia in West Palm Beach. Her son is 34. He's just demonstrated a pattern of spending everything he gets. He doesn't save anything. And she's just trying to prepare him, which is very wise, for that day when she might leave him money in the future so he would handle it well. And Sophia, I think that's exactly the right approach, because you are the steward, and the key decision that stewards have to make, the final decision, is the next steward not only chosen, but prepared? And we need to pass wisdom before wealth, you know, passing spiritual capital first and character capital, followed finally by social capital, and recognizing that the money is the fuel in the tank that's going to take them, propel them in whatever direction they're already going, which means somebody on the wrong track could inadvertently propel them further down that track. And so, you know, although that's ultimately up to them and between them and the Lord, you know, I think you're wise in saying, I need to make sure I'm doing something that, you know, is going to be the very best thing for my son. And, you know, as the steward, I need to ask some hard questions. Let me just clarify, though, is this really all about what you might leave him as an inheritance at death? Or are you also wrestling with, you know, helping him along the way right now?
Well, he works 2 jobs. He doesn't have any rent or anything. He lives, my father has taken him in, so he just pays for his car and food, and it's literally just excessive spending. I do would like to help him, but I don't think financially it would be helpful for him as he just spends it. I mean, I'm telling you, it's no matter how much or little, and I just don't know if there's anything I can do.
Yeah.
To help.
Well, I think you're right to question that, because I think the last thing you would want to do at this point would be, you know, to support him if he's refusing to steward his resources wisely. That's often going to create more problems. In fact, and this is not ultimately your decision, but I wonder if having a conversation with your dad, I guess his grandfather, just about the, you know, showing some tough love and perhaps, you know, creating a pathway toward him not being able to live there any longer, because, you know, the ability to have all these things provided for him is causing him not to develop the skills he needs to develop in managing his own resources, because he basically doesn't have to come up with anything. And so he's able to just, you know, spend it frivolously. And so I don't know whether that's, you know, part of what you're interested in doing, but I think a conversation, you know, with your dad about kind of the trajectory he's on, you know, could be important. In terms of your place in this and where you might go from here, I mean, there's several opportunities, and we'd be happy to help with any of these. I mean, I think one of them is just the idea, you know, you use the inheritance to have a conversation where you would say, listen, you know, I have some concerns about your financial habits. And as a result of that, I just don't feel good about leaving, you know, money to you unless you can show me that, you know, in the future, you're going to be able to handle it wisely. And I'd love to help with that. And maybe that's, you know, conversation done in love, you know, gets his attention. I think a second thing is if he has any desire to kind of understand God's way of handling money and developing these disciplines, you know, is he a reader? I'd be happy to provide a book if you think he would take advantage of it. A third option would be a Christian financial counselor. I'd be delighted for FaithFi to pick up the cost of him meeting, you know, with a financial counselor that could help him set up a spending plan and really develop some of those rhythms and habits that are so critical in wise money management. But the likelihood would be if he doesn't have to change his ways and he doesn't have any incentive to do it, especially because he's got a place to live and very few expenses, he's probably just going to say thanks, but no thanks and not follow through with it. So any of those, you know, could be a stepping stone to God getting his attention, but he's got to be willing to do it as a 34-year-old, you know, grown man. But give me your thoughts on those.
Yeah, my father is looking at maybe in the next couple months kicking him out. So that is on the horizon. And so, you know, of course, it's the woe is me. But, you know, I do think he would be interested. I would have to talk to him. I wouldn't want to waste your resources in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
If he wasn't interested.
Well, let's do both of those. Yeah, and are you talking about the counselor or the book or both?
I think he would probably go for the counseling is what I think he would probably.
Okay, well, let's do this. Two things. Number one is I think you ought to lean into that conversation with your dad and just say, listen, I know this is hard. It's hard for me, too. We love, you know, our son, your grandson. We certainly don't want to see him struggle. And yet we have to recognize the two of us that, you know, potentially we're actually creating more problems than we are helping him by allowing him to continue to not develop, you know, financial disciplines. And so I want you to know that I'm in favor of this. And I think the way to do it is to have that hard conversation with clear communication and put a very clear timeline in place. Listen, you know, in 6 months, it's over. And so you need to start preparing now for when you're going to be out on your own. And I love you and I'm here for you, but this is not working. because it's not setting you up for success. It's setting you up for failure. And I think, you know, giving your dad, of course, your permission for that. But secondly, kind of the talking points and the pathway to, you know, being very clear, because the moment he's ambiguous about it, it's just going to keep going on and on and on. He's going to have to be willing to draw a line in the sand and say, here's how this is going to work, and this is how it's going to go down and over what time period. And then secondly, we'll connect the Christian financial counselor with you and then let you offer that idea. And if he says no, well, then you can tell the counselor, thank you for calling, but, you know, we're going to have to pass. But if it's you seem like it's he'll take advantage of it, then you can make the handoff at that point. Okay.
Okay. That sounds wonderful.
Awesome.
Is there any resource that I could purchase for myself that could help me in my journey with them?
Or yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question. I mean, the Townsend book on boundaries, you know, if that's an issue, could be great. You know, just wise financial management. I would say Ron Blue's book, Master Your Money, or Howard Dayton's Your Money Counts, are both, you know, just wonderful resources that are biblical, but also practical. So depending on what the issues are, you know, any of those could be good. But let's do this. You stay on the line. We'll get your information, and we'll get one of our CERT CFCs in touch with you. And Sophia, we'll be praying for you that the Lord gives you wisdom in this. And thanks for calling today. Let's go to Chicago. Belinda, thanks for waiting patiently. How can I help?
Hi, Rob. I had a question. I'm calling. I'm not sure if they made you aware of the reason for my call, but we just recently had a death in the family. And as a result, there's a son that's an heir to the person that passed away. But he doesn't have any relationship with the father before he passed. It was like a very tumultuous relationship. So after his passing, he didn't have a will, and he didn't leave anything in writing to designate what should happen with his property and his vehicle. So the son is aware that he's passed away, and he's stepping up to possibly inherit, you know, what his dad left, which is right. That's the right thing for him to do. But there's other family members that, because he's estranged from his dad, they're trying to intervene and, you know, take the property and the vehicle. So my question is, legally, he's entitled, even though their relationship was estranged, and what could we possibly do for me to help him to actually be able to obtain, you know, what his dad left here?
Who are the other family members? How are they related to his dad?
Three aunts and a grandson. Yeah, three aunts and a grandson.
Okay.
Yeah. So three siblings and a grandchild.
All right. So, but you said there is no will, correct?
Nope, there's no will. Nope.
Okay. So what happens is, when there's no will, you know, it's going to be considered an intestate, which basically, you know, is he in Illinois?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. So basically, when someone dies without a will in Illinois, their estate is distributed according to the Illinois Probate Act, which basically prioritizes heirs based on the family closeness. So the son would be a direct descendant, a primary heir, and his lack of relationship with his father doesn't really affect his legal rights. Now, I'm not an attorney. You're going to need to encourage him to seek out an estate planning attorney who can help navigate this. But extended family generally only inherit if closer relatives, like a spouse or children or parents, are absent. And so the car and the condo are likely going to be probate assets, meaning they would be distributed through the probate process unless they're in a trust or in joint tenancy with somebody else. So basically, the court is going to step in here, and, you know, with him being the primary heir, regardless of estrangement, you know, he would likely be the one to automatically inherit everything, you know, from his dad.
I totally agree. I just wanted to make sure I was on the right path to helping him, you know, to move forward with this. So thank you so much, Rob.
Yeah, no problem. Now, listen, because it's a small estate, you know, you can use an affidavit to transfer the assets without a probate court if it's under $100,000. If it goes over that, then a probate case is filed in the county where the father resided. So that would get everything going, and then the court would appoint an administrator since there's no will to handle everything. So he needs to reach out to the probate court in the county in which his dad lived. We appreciate your call today. All the best to you. That's going to do it for us today, folks. Thanks to my team, Devin Patrick, Pat Montague, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. Hope you have a great rest of your day. And come back and join us tomorrow. Lord willing, I'll be here, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.